Sunday morning, I spoke to you about the three wise men. And I said I was going to speak to you today about four wise men. Now, they're absolutely nothing to do with the wise men we find in Matthew chapter 2. In fact, they're found in the second book of Kings. You might like to turn to it with me. The second book of Kings and chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, in context here, the city of Samaria is besieged. The Syrian army has surrounded it for weeks upon weeks. Food has run out. The people in the city are in a desperate state. And Elisha, the prophet, prophesies that the siege is about to come to an end. And most people probably didn't believe him. But this is what we read. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. It says, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." Saying, let's go over to the Assyrians. We've got absolutely nothing to lose. These were four wise men. They worked out something very sensible. But let's read on. It says, "And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Well, the city of Samaria was besieged. Food had run out. People were starving. It seemed there was no hope. The enemy was surrounding them, and they couldn't escape. And it pictures, in a sense, the state of mankind. Mankind is living in spiritual darkness and despair. And then we see at the gate of the city these four lepers. They sit outside the gate because they are diseased. They are outcasts from society. And they vividly represent the state of individual souls today, diseased by sin, besieged by Satan, helpless and hopeless. And then in the twilight, as the day prepares to dawn, they make an amazing discovery. These four men go to the camp of the Syrians and they find that the army of the Syrians have fled. It's completely deserted and therefore Samaria is delivered. And they say in verse 9, this day is a day of good tidings. This day is a day of good tidings. Well, friends, we can say that this day is a day of good tidings. And there are three things that I want to note here. First of all, consider the nature of the tidings. They are good tidings. Good tidings. We all like to receive good news, don't we? Sadly, it's not always good news, but we like to receive good news. And today is good news. The best news that the world ever received came first to shepherds on the hills over Bethlehem. The angel said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." That is the best news that the world has ever received. Unto you is born this day a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And that's why we're here this morning, to remember the giving of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. For centuries, Israel had been waiting for the Messiah, the Christ. And now God sends the news by his angels that Christ is born. The birth of a baby is normally considered good news. And how much more the birth of God's Son. This child is the King of Glory. He's the Lord of creation, God's gift to mankind. This is the beginning of the gospel. And as I'm sure you know, the word gospel means good news or good tidings. Good tidings of great joy. It is a cause for thanksgiving that God has sent his Son into the world. Now, we don't know exactly when Jesus was born, but does it cause you to rejoice when we think about him coming into this world? His birth is wonderful in itself, but of course, there's more to it than this. And the second thing I want to note is the substance of the tidings. The city had been besieged, supplies were exhausted, hope had expired. But now the enemy had gone. The city was safe. There was food for all. It is a day of deliverance. And that by the hand of Almighty God, who caused fear to come upon the Syrians in the night, and they had fled in the darkness. Well, the birth of Christ is a day of deliverance. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, when he hears that Mary is bearing the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, he said this amongst other things. He said, "God has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation that we should be saved from our enemies." God has visited and redeemed his people. And Paul reminds us in Acts 11, quoting Psalm 14, that it says there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, a deliverer. The birth of Christ is not the means of our deliverance, but it reveals to us the deliverer, the one who came to save us. When Zacharias says God has visited and redeemed his people, he speaks as though it is already accomplished. In a sense, it was, because once God's plan is put into action, his will cannot be changed. But it would take another 30 years to come to fulfillment. Jesus grew as a man. For 3 years he ministered to the people, and then he died upon a cross, battered, beaten, nailed, lifted up to die. Isaiah, 600 years before the birth of Christ, foretold that he was coming. He said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." But he also speaks prophetically of his death. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." We shouldn't be so caught up with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that we forget the purpose. This baby was born to save us from our sins. And in order to do that, he had to die upon a cross. He had to go to that cross to bear our sins, to take the punishment that was rightly ours, so that we might be forgiven. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God took our iniquity, our sin, and he laid it upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he died upon that cross. And because he bore our sin, because he paid the price, then we can know the forgiveness of sins through him. We could love him simply for who he is, because he is worthy of all adoration. But how much more when we consider that he came to die for us, that he gave himself to save us, and that having done this, he rose again from the dead. Truly we can say this day is a day of good tidings. But thirdly, I want to think about the responsibility of those who hear. Who are the tidings for? As these four lepers feast and pillage in the camp of the Syrians, they begin to realize that they are at fault. They say, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. In the city, people are still afraid. They are still starving. They are absolutely desperate. And how can these men take advantage of the situation and not tell others? All the more when we consider that this is the Lord's doing, this is God's deliverance. Their initial reaction is to put self first, and that so much reflects the attitude of our society today. Why are people living in abject poverty in various parts of the world? It's because there's not a sharing of the resources that God has given us. This day is a day of good tidings, and good tidings are to be shared. And so these four men become the bearers of good news to tell the people of Samaria that God has delivered them. And when we think about Christmas, surely we see a parallel. This is a day or a time of good tidings. The angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which are exclusively for shepherds? No. Which are for God's chosen people, the Jews? No. The angel says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To all people. Good tidings indeed, that God has sent his Son to be the Saviour of mankind, to deliver us from the powers of darkness, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today is a day of good tidings, and it is for everyone who will hear. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The birth of Christ is a message for all people, and if we believe that, then it carries with it a sense of responsibility to tell others. We don't know when he was born. We don't agree with the commercialization of Christmas and so much that goes with it today. But what a wonderful opportunity to speak to others. You can say to them, do you know why we celebrate Christmas? Do you know whose birthday it is? Do you know why Jesus was born? Do you know why he died on a cross? What did the shepherds do after going to Bethlehem? It says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They made known abroad what they had seen and heard. Have you ever had such good news you just want to share it immediately with others. Perhaps you passed an exam, or you bought a new house, or you were having a baby, whatever it might have been, and you want to tell everyone else about it. I suppose today you'd get your phone out and text them, guess what? And before long, everyone knows the news. Well, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, you'll want to tell others about it. If not, then there's something sadly wrong. You may be shy, but you'll still have that desire to tell others, and it will overcome your fear to do so. Dear friends, we have a duty to share the good news with other people. It's a twofold duty. It's a duty, first of all, to God. God commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." We have a duty to God, and we have a duty to others as well. All around us, souls are perishing, and we are entrusted with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation. This day is a day of good tidings. I remember some years ago, I don't know if they still have them, seeing a bumper sticker on a car at Christmas time saying, "Wise men still seek him." Well, that's very true. Wise men still seek him. But it's also true that wise men tell others. May we do so at this time. Amen.